right now. I don't want to keep him holding any longer. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good to be back on.
Thought of you when I saw the story yesterday. What do you make of this? The U.S. Supreme Court will hear, according to the Daily Wire article that I have, a monumental case on a federal obstruction law that could potentially undo hundreds of January 6 cases and then directly impact special counsel Jack Smith's case against former President Donald Trump. Now, I know this case concerns a specific provision of the U.S. Code on obstruction law. We'll get into some of that, or I'll just kind of hand it over to you. Is this case that big of a deal in your opinion, Jeff O'Brien?
Yeah, John, I've done some reading on this, and I do think it could potentially be a big deal if this obstruction of an official proceeding charge is primarily what prosecutors are getting convictions of on the January 6th defendants. When you do some research as to what the basis for this charge, I think it is pretty flimsy. And I do think, you know, and I know that much of the special counsel's case against Trump for the January 6th or for his role hinges on, you know, counseling others to commit, you know, criminal acts. And so if there are no criminal, if these convictions were to get tossed, that does, jeopardize Jack Smith's ability to proceed with the prosecution of Trump. Absolutely.
The case concerns a specific provision, 18 U.S. Code 1512, an obstruction law, which states, whoever corruptly otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes an official proceeding or attempts to do so shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. The court will examine how the Biden Department of Justice has been using the provision, possibly in context with a broader statute, to prosecute January 6 defendants. The obstruction law has been used by the DOJ against more than 300 January 6 defendants thus far, and notably holds a punishment of up to 20 years behind bars. But it's also one of the charges President Trump is facing in a trial currently scheduled in March. How much of the makeup of the Supreme Court right now do you think, I guess first question I have, how much of the makeup of the Supreme Court do you think it will have an impact? Will it have an impact potentially on this ruling?
Hard to say, John. I think that it could cross, you know, partisan lines on the court. Just, you know, for some background, this charge, this law that you cited, stems out of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, which was a corporate and securities law reform law that came out in the early 2000s. And the original intent of what this chart, it was obstructing an official proceeding, went to were things like destroying documents, tampering with witnesses, tampering with evidence, okay? So this is another one of these situations where in the prosecutor's zeal to get Trump, I mean, this is similar to the New York case. A lot of times you hear when you talk about these Trump prosecutions, there's some novel legal theory, right? That's code for they're stretching some existing law to try to make it work for their situation. If that's the case, if that's what these January 6th defendants are being charged with and convicted upon, this is pretty flimsy. And so, I don't see this necessarily being a partisan decision by the court. It could be more than the 6-3. It could be 7-2. I don't know where the more liberal justices are going to wind up, but you know they have to think as well. It's to set aside the personalities involved in this. From a civil liberties point of view, is this something that the government and prosecutors are agents of the government? Is this something we want government doing?
Well, and with regard to the Supreme Court, Tom Caso, senior legal fellow at Claremont Institute, was interviewed for this, and he said, in a couple of comments here, but one that stuck out just with regard to the Supreme Court and how they might rule, he's saying something similar to what you were saying, talking with lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, that it's unclear which way the Supreme Court will go on the issue. The court doesn't usually interpret a small provision to wipe out the rest of the language of a statute, he said. But on the other hand, the court could read the provision in isolation and uphold the government's position. The point I wanted to make, Jeff, is that, you know, this is a Supreme Court that does seem to be willing to put out, you know, a controversial ruling, despite the impact it might have. And you just point to what happened with Roe v. Wade. So one of the questions I had was, you know, I know how reluctant is the court going to be in the impact it could have in undoing these cases impacting Trump? But at the same time, they've already shown that they're willing to go and make waves that could, you know, have massive impact on the public. And that, you know, certainly took place with that Roe v. Wade ruling.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, some of the justices, I think that if I had to handicap, certainly I would say Thomas, Gorsuch, Alito are absolutely going to focus on the original intent of the law, right? So you've got three already right there that will likely say that this is what this statute means. Kavanaugh, Barrett, and Roberts, you just need to get two of those and you've got it over, you've got a majority. What likely would happen is if the court interprets the provision of this statute in a way that is adverse to the prosecution, to the government, what they'd likely do procedurally is remand these cases for further proceedings at lower courts to actually apply the Supreme Court's interpretation. It'll be lower courts that will end up, you know, tossing some of these convictions if it goes that way.
Yeah, that was one of the comments echoing what you said. If the Supreme Court agrees that the law has been misapplied by the DOJ, effectively siding with the defendants, the court ruling could undo a whole bunch of cases, according to a defense attorney. Moreover, it could adjust the sentences, and that's what you were mentioning, of those who've already been sentenced. I had a talkback that came in, and they were asking, does that law become unconstitutional simply because it's not equally applied if you can show that they're only ever using it against January 6th right-leaning protesters while they've let other people have sit downs in the Capitol? You know, does it make the law null and void? Do you know the answer to that, Jeff O'Brien?
Well, it wouldn't make the law null and void. The law has applicability in its original intent of trying to outlaw corporate corruption, right? Like I said, destroying evidence, tampering with witnesses, tampering with evidence. You know, those types of situations, that's what this law was intended to cover and make and criminalize. The issue of it being applied unevenly, it shouldn't be, it sounds like it shouldn't being applied at all.
Before we let you go, talking with lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, I just wanted to get your thoughts on what happened yesterday with regard to Hunter Biden. I know they're expecting some testimony today, but Hunter Biden ended up defying that congressional subpoena, refusing to appear for the deposition with the House Oversight Committee. Of course, they went and voted on the impeachment inquiry. We're going to be talking with Representative Tom Emmer at 8 o'clock tomorrow with regard to that. Hunter Biden had his little time behind the podium, speaking to the public, complaining about MAGA Republicans, but did he cause a bigger mess for himself in defying this congressional subpoena?
I mean, it's going to stay, the story is going to stay out there, but in terms of what the remedies would be to the Congress for him, ignoring the subpoena and not showing up for this closed door testimony, you know, they can hold him in contempt. There is a series, there's a process, a series of panels, and ultimately a full House vote where he would be held in contempt of Congress. But for anybody that is looking to see Hunter pay the price for this, don't hold your breath, because the ultimate, if someone's held in contempt of Congress, they refer it to the DOJ, and the DOJ has the option of whether or not to prosecute. So I don't see President Biden's DOJ prosecuting the president's son for contempt of Congress.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. If people want to find out more about your legal expertise and services, where can they go?
On X, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. You can find me, jeffreyobrien.today is my personal site. You can find all my stuff over there and my contact info.
Thanks for coming on short notice, Jeff. I really do appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon, bud.
Sounds good. Thanks, John.